Thank you, Francis. Amidst all the furore about the multiple roadworks in the city, who would have thought that the potential duelling of the A47 at the Acle Strait would be delayed by the need to rehouse snails? We'll hear about that in a moment. Another sort of roadway is featured too, as the coastal path from Hopton to Sea Pawling is opened, and this reminds us of the need for a coastal flood protection and the huge costs involved. Tiny rare snails, which have colonised the dikes on the treacherous part of the A47, are likely to have 4 years to settle into a new home before a safety upgrade can begin. Ecologists must make sure that the little whirlpool ramshorn snails, which are only found in Norfolk and Surrey, can survive and breed before their old habitat on the Acle Strait is moved. About 800 of the invertebrates were relocated in the spring, but MPs were told it would take about 4 years to know if their move had been a success. Under European rules, the dikes cannot be moved until the survival of the little whirlpool ramshorn snails is secured. They need to be monitored for a number of years to fully understand their survival and breeding patterns. The 4-year wait was revealed in a recently published letter between Highways England and Great Yarmouth MP Brandon Lewis earlier this year. In the letter, Mr. Lewis told Highways England that it was ludicrous that the snails would lead to a 4-year delay in moving the dikes, which he said caused tragic loss of life as cars leaving the road went straight into the ditches. But Highways England said it had to abide by the law. A Highways England spokesman said, "We are committed to upgrading the A47 in an environmentally responsible way. A number of protected species have their natural habitat around the Acle Strait and would need to be relocated successfully before any options for improvement can be considered."
A new stretch of pathway is to offer walkers the opportunity to enjoy more of the region's treasured coastline. Natural England has opened the latest stretch of the England Coast Path in Norfolk, 21 miles from Hopton-on-Sea to Sea Pawling. As statistics reveal, people make more than 300 million visits a year to England's coastline. With walking the most popular activity at the coast, the opening of the route in Great Yarmouth by Lord Gardiner of Kimble and Natural England Chairman Andrew Sells means many more people can enjoy this stunning shoreline. Mr. Sells said, "The England Coast Path is a fabulous legacy for our great island nation. The latest section opening here today is a wonderful showcase for Norfolk's varied coastline, from historic towns and villages to stunning wildlife and beautiful beaches. Opening up the route will also bring huge benefits to the regional economy. Our evidence shows walking is the most popular activity at the coast, and we spend more time and money when we visit."
The cost of protecting Norfolk's coastal communities from flooding could reach up to £500 million, a new report has today revealed. It found that investment will be needed in Great Yarmouth, the Broads, Winterton and Eccles over the next 50 years. And with changes to central government funding, it said at least £200 million will have to be found elsewhere to maintain and replace current defences. The report, commissioned by the Broads Climate Partnership, was put together to explore the future of the flood and coastal risk management schemes in the eastern half of the county. It identified several key issues that will need to be addressed in the coming years to protect communities along the coast. The report said there were around 6,500 homes within the flood risk area, which would benefit from the defences. And while the cost of protecting such areas could reach £500 million in the future, the overall value of the land and property was in excess of £1.7 billion. However, it noted central government grant aid would not cover the entire bill, and a further £200 million would have to be secured from partner organisations. At present, there are three separate flood defence systems along each of the areas identified. But the report concluded there was a clear need for a single strategic overview in regard to flood management for the entire area.
It was at the centre of a long-running battle to save it. More than a year after it was sold, bold plans for the future of a Norwich community centre can be revealed. Veterans and users of the Royal British Legion's Jubilee Hall had battled to keep it running since its closure was first announced in 2013, with Legion bosses saying that to keep it would pose an unacceptable risk to charitable funds. The venue was bought last year by the Lind Trust, with its new owners promising to keep it available for the community to use. Now we can exclusively reveal it is hoped the building will reopen as a multi-generational community facility in 2018. Stuart Blackburn, a trustee of the Norwich Jubilee Centre Charitable Foundation, which has been set up to oversee the running of the centre, said, "We're trying to create something that is multi-generational and that also meets all elements of the community's need. The plan is for groups of all ages to use and benefit from the centre, which will be also able to be hired out to members of the local community for weddings, funeral wakes and other events. We want to keep it at the heart of the community, so it is available for everyone to use as they used to. It's hoped that the new look centre will be ready to open to the public by September 2018, but the charity needs to find £1 million to help make that dream become a reality."
Lego-loving Caitlin Canis does not turn six until next month, but she got an early birthday present when she joined dozens of other youngsters in building some new adventures at a city bookstore. Families looking for things to do at the start of the half-term holiday headed to Waterstones in Norwich, where a host of activities centred around a new book, 365 Things to Do with Lego Bricks. Louisa Theobald, children's bookseller who helped to organise the event, said, "It was part of a series of events to help the store to show youngsters what books were fun, and the store itself was an interactive place to come, read and enjoy books."
Well, that's all from Ian and myself. Now we'll hand over to Pauline and Chris for part two of Chatterbox.